Hey everybody, this is not your typical sneaker content you would find here. This is actually a preview of a new podcast I'm doing with my buddy Ryan called Discount Film Critics. It's just an enjoyable, lighthearted look at some pretty fun and unique films you might not have heard of before. So yeah, you can find Discount Film Critics at iTunes and just about anywhere you get your podcasts. This is our first episode. It's a little rough around the edges, but we thought it was important to just put it out there, see what you thought. So yeah, I would encourage you to head on over to the Discount Film Critics page on iTunes and subscribe. Billy's never been able to fit in where he lives. Suddenly, that's not a problem anymore. A desert exploration leads to an explosive discovery for Billy, his own personal laser gun. Each time Billy fires the laser, he begins to mutate little by little into an alien. Possessed by the new power in his hands, Billy terrorizes the town with the awesome alien device. Now it's a race against time before the aliens return to claim the weapon and his life. On today's episode of Discount Film Critics, we'll be discussing 1978 sci-fi thriller Laser Blast. Runtime, 83 minutes. Starring Kim Milford, Cheryl Smith, Johnny Russo, Roddy McDowall, Keenan Wynn, and Dennis Berkley.
Either they spent a lot of money on pyrotechnics, or they found somebody that just likes to blow crap up.
And then, yeah, if you're lucky, you get both. Yeah.
All right, Ryan, this is what we're here for, talking about 1978's hit film, Laser Blast. Now, before we get into it, I just want to say, let me ask you this. Before we go into anything else, you being a film critic, what is your title? So you're writing an article about this. What's the title?
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
Where did you find this?
Actually, this has been kind of circulated as like a, this is one of those, well, it's one of those kind of classic, so bad it's good movies. You know, I think Mystery Science Theater did an episode on this. It's interesting. My one line title of this article would be Missed Opportunities. There's some things I actually like about it, right? I don't know
how you feel about it.
There's some things I actually like, but there's a lot that is a mess. And it's not uncommon for these types of movies to suffer from a few things. One is lack of money, lack of time, and just lack of competent filmmaking. And it's hard to discern like which one is the culprit, or maybe it's a mix of multiple things. But let's just kind of, this came out in 1978, right? So this was one of those films that is kind of trying to ride the coattails of Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's like when the
not so subtly in one scene.
yeah, right? The Easter egg. Star Wars was a huge hit. And then immediately you had, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of low budget filmmakers saying, shoot, let's kick out some sci-fi movies. And I think that there's a bunch of them, bunch of like Star Wars clones, and then just kind of general, like, let's just make a science fiction movie. And that's how we come to Laser Blast. So yeah, Laser Blast. This got some big names in it. Right. I don't know if you recognize Johnny Russo, who was like the government agent, like the Men in Black.
I'll be honest, I didn't recognize any of them.
Right. So Johnny Russo, he was Carlo in The Godfather.
Oh, okay.
And then, you recognize Roddy McDowall, right?
I recognize the name, but I was afterwards, after I watched this, I was thinking, where was Rodney McDowell? And he was
Yeah.
probably right in front of my face.
He was in it. He was in it for like a minute. They said, I was reading up on the trivia on this, and it said he filmed for a day. He needed to get his car fixed, and he did. They gave him $300. The other guy that I recognized was the Froggy.
Some people do their best work when they're in need of money.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention. But yeah, he was in it for. He was in it for maybe a minute, and they said like he another reason why he was in it is like they wanted to get like a big name because I think they said like he showed up at the premiere, so he kind of lent, I guess, some degree of legitimacy to the production. But the other guy was the they have the two kind of bullies, the kind of nerdy guy Froggy, and who was the Froggy and. You know what I mean? The two
I
Froggy
remember
and
they show up in a
Chuck.
car, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Froggy and Chuck. Froggy and Chuck. Froggy, the nerdy guy, I remember him. He was in War Games playing the exact same character. Not like a bully, but like a kind of spazzed out guy. But yeah, so like there are some people I recognize, but the basic, Ryan, if you could tell me like the basic plot of this film. What would it be? This is maybe the toughest challenge of your life. You don't have to recount all the events. Just give me plot summary.
I don't know where to start because there's no like it's just kind of there. It's like when
Yes.
you spill the pieces of a puzzle on the table,
Yeah,
and
I feel you.
there's this guy. He's supposed to be a teenager, but he's clearly not.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Before we go, I just want to say this movie has 1980s teenagers. Which I'm sorry, 70s and 80s teenagers, which means not one of them looks younger than 35,
Yeah.
right?
I couldn't. I honestly could not tell until probably the end of the scene that that was his mom. He was saying who was leaving for Acapulco.
No, bro, not just his mom. His mom, he ogles straight bizarrely. You know, he comes, he like sits behind her and he's like looking at her, like. I was like, checking, is he looking at his mom's butt? Like, it was the most bizarre thing. Some of the choices are strange, to say the least.
And it takes a while for him to say one word in the scene. He just kind of like his first gesture is just like with his hands. And I know this is audio format, but he simply motions to the suitcases.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I found hilarious was, hey, he's a what 16-year-old? He's like, okay, let's just say for argument's sake, he's 18. He just turned 18, summer of his senior year in high school. He's got his own car, which is this bizarre van. What 18-year-old in their right mind is gonna cry and whine and complain to their mom that they're leaving? He's like, mommy, don't go. Like, really? Like.
To be fair, she looked like she was packed to leave forever. And you know, some teenagers, if they may not be you know, the dinner comes around, they're not gonna know who's gonna cook for them. So it's entirely possible, but I know what you mean.
Right? I mean, he's got his girlfriend, he's got his friends, he's got his car. Yeah, it just that part which I just found strange. But I did laugh out loud. Like that was kind of maybe my first. Like some of the dialogue was actually quite clever, I thought. But he was like, when are you gonna stop going to Acapulco? And you remember what the mom said?
When they stop asking.
Yeah, yeah. I was like. I thought that was pretty great. Yes, when they stop asking. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think so yeah, the boy and it's established that I mean, I think they try to I think the idea was to portray like a brooding teenager, but there's you can still be brooding and you could still be dark to some degree. But you need to have a basic level of charisma if you're the lead in a movie, right? You can't be, because this is what I feel like. The whole overarching idea of this movie is a young man's fall, right? His corruption. And for in order for that to be effective, he has to be likable to some degree. He's 100%. When they made his character, he rolled a minus five charisma on the D20. You know, do you feel the same? Like, what do you make of all this?
No, I think I'm with you. I do have to say, for a story of corruption, he sure looks like he's enjoying the hell out of it when he's the monster than when he's a human.
Explain real quick the monster. We see the monster. We see a monster at the beginning. So what's the whole mechanics around the monster?
So from what I gather, there is this alien technology that ends up corrupting whichever human user possesses it.
And what is that technology?
that's a good question, because to begin with, I thought it was just this necklace.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I mean, that's what I assumed.
But then there's also the laser gun.
Yeah.
But when the so there's initially there's a user who gets caught by the aliens, who I assume own the technology, and he gets vaporized, and right, all that's left is a necklace. The laser gun totally disappears and then reappears later. I think it's the necklace, but it's probably both.
Yeah, so I took it as the necklace. The necklace. So just to be real quick, not to belabor it, but that opening scene takes place on Earth. We see an alien, you know, humanoid figure running through. Just like you said, he gets caught by these other aliens who are stop motion dinosaur puppets, and he gets vaporized. And this necklace and this laser gun is the only thing that remain. Now, I just took it to be the laser. I mean, I'm sorry, the necklace is what corrupts you and turns you into the vicious creature. The laser gun, not so much. But this is a missed opportunity. My advice, if I was reading the script and I was a producer or something, I would say, you only need one item.
Yeah.
You only need one item. And I think it's important to also make it clear that, so they vaporize the creature that has the laser gun, and then they're scared off by a plane flies overhead, right? And then the two aliens, they run back, they hightail it back into their ship, and then leaving the necklace, the amulet, whatever, and the laser gun for our good friend, what's his name, Billy, to find.
It kind of reminds me of like a garage sale when you know you have to get rid of something, but you don't want anyone else to have it. the aliens really didn't want that necklace, but they didn't want anyone else to have any fun with it.
Bro, yeah, I mean, we can get into that. Like, those aliens, yeah, they make some really bad decisions. But I'll say this. The stop motion dinosaur puppets, loved it. I love those guys. Those stop motion dinosaur puppets have way more charm and charisma than any of the human characters, than the lead.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought it was great. They reminded me more of like a turtle without its shell.
Yeah.
But I see the dinosaur influence. And I thought it was great when they would cut to them throughout the movie, and it was like they were right along watching the same scenes as we were.
Bro, when their like boss is like, yo, somebody picked up the amulet, and then it cuts to like surveillance footage of Billy with it's the movie. Somehow they got a hold of the movie, and they're just replaying the movie.
Yeah, it's like Spaceballs when they're able to fast forward and rewind into it.
Hell yeah!
And I have to, we have to like note that unless you saw a different version than I did, you just kind of have to assume what the aliens are talking about, because they didn't leave any. The only I watched with the closed captioning, and all that described it as was quacking.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the Criterion version, so I didn't see any of that.
So is it on LaserDisc?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was like, yeah, why didn't they do like subtitles or something? And, but then I'll tell you what, I was kind of right along with it. Like, they're like, and I was like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
They made their
intentions.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to go get that. It's like, yeah. It was like, when people understand like Chewbacca and R2-D2, you're like, how do they get? Yeah. I was like, yeah, those little guys. I mean, kudos to the dudes that did the stop motion, because they were expressive. They did more physical like body language communication than the actors did.
Yeah, and like the graphics weren't, you know, they're 1978 standards, but I thought the spaceship was pretty unique looking. It wasn't the usual, you know, disc UFO.
Yes. Well, it wasn't like they didn't take like a Star Wars toy and like paint it, you know. You get a lot of that in some of these. Yeah. What was I gonna say? There's so many things floating around my head. And by the way, Ryan, we're gonna edit out like the dead spots.
Yeah.
Well, if we're searching for words.
Well, I'm thinking like you had referenced it as the character as the boy. And I think his name is Billy.
Billy Duncan.
But I found myself just referencing him when he was the creature as Laser Blast, like it was his name.
Yeah, we should just call him Laser Blast. Well, he's Billy Duncan in human form. When he gets the laser gun, he's Laser Blast, which, yeah, it was interesting. So influences on this movie it was kind of like part, like it reminded me a little bit of the Wolfman, where like, you know, he would transform at night and then do these things and then seemingly have no recollection of them. But even though he's like, he's like getting revenge on people or like settling scores, like everybody he attacks, with the exception of the doctor, is like somebody that did him wrong, you know, when he's in Billy form, and then Laser Blast takes over and gets him. But yeah, it's really strange. Like he turned into, that's another thing I should get to, is I think a little more effort on the weapon would have been gone a long way. Like, it just seems like it's found parts from just household objects, which I think if you're going to do something like this, like you think of like Star Wars and Blade Runner, they have like iconic weapons, and the weapons start with like, you modify an actual firearm, right? There was like a clear plastic tube. It looked like it looked like a slide projector on top, and like some like mesh. Supposedly, one of the things on it was a Star Trek tricorder from Star Trek. I just felt like the main, like the MacGuffin of the film, the thing that sets everything in motion, should have looked a little cooler. But then again, that could have just been, again, time and money restrictions.
Yeah, I get that. I didn't hate it, the design. I think that's kind of where, like, maybe I was confused about, like, what's the item at stake here? Because I thought it was designed well enough that, like, to me, it looked like it was just part of his arm. It wasn't something that he's separately holding. Maybe if they got more elaborate with the found parts to cover up what exactly you're seeing. But
yeah,
I didn't think it was too bad.
Well, it's like you could have just had it so like the laser, like, you know, yeah, you touch it and it latches onto you, and then it's like you're screwed. And then it's gonna do its thing and corrupt you. That would have been, I think, the way to go. Monday morning quarterbacking this. And then, okay, so I think we've established kind of what happens. Poor Billy. He becomes corrupted by this alien technology. And we established, like, I thought the girlfriend was good. His girlfriend, Kathy, played by Cheryl Smith. I thought she was good. But again, we get to the point of like, she seems like a nice girl. She's happy. Why would she like somebody like this? Like, he's just miserable. He's just got this like I don't care look. And it's like, it's the exact same thing we run into with like the Star Wars prequels, like, oh, the fall of Anakin, it's supposed to be this big tragedy, but he's just kind of like unlikable. And it's like, you're like, why would she like him? Again, I can understand.
Well,
there
might
like,
be an issue with casting, because the guy's not like,
maybe they didn't
I
have
mean,
chemistry.
He's a model. he's like, yeah, so yeah. He can't really project, being depressed or picked on.
Well, he definitely seemed depressed to me. Yeah. But I mean, like, imagine Ryan, like, imagine a more charismatic lead. Like,
yeah.
Imagine Michael J. Fox in that role. Could you imagine Back to the Future? Like, that's a tragedy. Like, what would have happened if at the end of Back to the Future 3, Marty McFly becomes a villain and like Doc Brown and Jennifer got to take him out? We'd be like, damn, that's the fall. You know what I mean? Or like, it's just that to me, that's like the main missed opportunity. Or like, if we were casting this today, we'd have Tom Holland, you know what I mean? Like a likable, charismatic guy that, the last person you would ever expect to get corrupted and become a menace you have to take care of. Okay, so one thing I noticed about this movie is some of the scenes went on way too long, but that's common for this type of thing because they have to pad the runtime, right? Or they just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, camera shots kind of linger in a weird way too. Like, even just the conversation between him and the doctor when they're examining the plate in his chest is
Well, that's another thing too, is like, I noticed that, like, so that thing with the plate in his chest, like when he's with his girlfriend, she's like, oh, like you got something on your, like you have a something, what happened to your chest? You should put something on it. And then it just kind of like, it kind of spreads and it turns into like a chunk of metal on his chest. So like, you have some element of like kind of, like some body horror there, maybe, like a little bit of The Fly.
Yeah. And we should add
a little bit of that.
That this is appearing right where the necklace lands against his chest. He starts to develop this redness and it becomes a actual like plate that the doctor ends up removing.
That was a good part, like the way the doc, like it did kind of creep me out, like when they're like the doctor's kind of like pulling out the, I guess medical stuff is kind of scary for most people, but when he's like pulling out the tools and like I'm like,
just tapping it against it is like you can almost kind of imagine what that feels like, something metal in your skin that like the doctor's tapping against.
The other thing I noticed too was when he was messing, like he was like touching it and like it's clearly an open sore. It's like red around. He wasn't wearing any gloves. he doesn't put gloves on. He's like poking around the hole in his chest with his finger. And then he doesn't put gloves on until he grabs the forceps and then he puts the gloves on. And
well, remember, this is a teenager he's working with. He's probably an experienced pediatrician that he's been seeing his entire life.
Yeah, he's like, I'm familiar with you. Yeah. And then he calls like he calls over to the lab, like the biopsy lab. And he's like, hey, you're gonna have to stay late. And he's like, I don't understand he was like, I mean, like what time? I'm like, he's like, it'll be after midnight. I'm like, what time did Billy come there? Was he there at like 9 p.m.? And it's like, I don't know. To me, it seems like it would be like kind of an emergency. Like I wouldn't just be like, yeah, I'll come on over later. And the lab guy's like, okay.
I think it was an emergency because it just like almost immediately cuts to the doctor driving
in the middle
at
of the night.
Yeah. And then getting vaporized.
Oh my God. Yeah. So clearly, well, okay, that's another thing too, we'll get to, but Laser Blast seems to have superhuman speed because he just clearly Roddy McDowell got in his car, drove for several minutes, and then he's just like, unless Laser Blast can drive a van, then maybe he drove ahead in the van and then got out.
Yeah.
It's possible. Same thing happened with the well, yeah. We skipped the cops, the two cops. That was one of the first things that I was like, what is this? The two, like the Laurel and Hardy duo.
And they show up throughout the movie, so we didn't technically skip them. they're a recurring character.
They do show up at the beginning, and they pull Billy over, and they have this little back and forth. They give him a ticket. Then, well, it's established that, again, I think it's the 70s, so there's a real kind of distrust of the authorities. And you know, like they're smoking weed, and they're not serious police officers. And it proves that they're really not serious. Ryan, after they pull over Billy and they go back to the road, what happens?
My mind went blank.
They cause a horrific rollover accident.
That's right.
And I was like, what if there are children in the back of that car? Or if it was a senior citizen, they're less like, they're just like, uh-oh. I was like, oh my God.
There's a few car related stunts that kind of got mixed up for me.
That's another thing too. And this is, again, a common thing with B movies. If you see an old beat up car roll onto the screen, you know it's going to blow up. Right? You know it's going to blow up. And that's another positive about this film. The pyrotechnics were great. I thought the explosions were super satisfying. There was lots of fire. It was clear too that it looked like they had tanks of gasoline hidden in the car, and because it would just explode like napalm, and it was like you'd see this cascade of fire. So they spent a lot of budget on,
and they were prepared because they had some at least one of the accidents you could tell the driver was prepared for it.
Oh, you're talking about the end with the bullies when they're driving? Yeah. I love it because you could see at points I couldn't tell if it was a mannequin, if there are mannequins in there, or if it was an actual stunt driver.
I think it might have been both when you can see into the
one of them
into
was a
the
mannequin.
Car. Which I don't mind. I'll be honest.
Oh, great.
Sometimes it's fun to see sausage being made to some degree.
There's nothing wrong with that. But okay. So does he go to the doctor before his first transformation or after? No. After. Is the first transformation? So he goes to this party, right? He goes to this backyard pool party, and all the 40-year-old teenagers are there. And the other thing too, the music. This the music really stuck out during the pool scene, because the theme song at the beginning with the credits was great. I thought it was great. But the other music,
there's not
choices,
a lot of music in the movie.
There's music, but it's this muzak, weird background music. Yeah. So think about it. It's 1978 and a bunch of teenagers are at a pool party. They're going to be listening to Zeppelin. They're going to be listening to Rush. Not this old-timey jazz music they had playing. It was just, it was really bizarre. Yeah. I mean, again, you're probably talking budget here. You know, they clearly can't license music.
Yeah.
You got to get some dude with a guitar to strum out some nonsense. You know?
Public domain is a shallow pool sometimes when you're looking for just the right thing.
Yeah. So then the pool party, then it's established. We got the two, the bullies. I think they put one of the guy, Chuck, pushes the girl in the pool. Yeah. You get the other thing too. I kind of laughed at was again, it's fine. It kind of gives the world some color, but Billy's girlfriend's pretty nice, Kathy. When they're at the girls' party, Franny, I think is her name, and she's kind of sitting by herself eating cake, and she makes some kind of comment well, as long as I have a pool, I guess I'll have friends, that kind of thing. And I was like, all right, it's a whole. And then of course we linger for 2 minutes of Franny kind of.
I think that was an episode of The Simpsons with Martin getting the pool.
But then you think about it, yeah, like I kind of remember, you know, there was maybe that was that kid in your neighborhood that you were friends with because they had a pool. So it rang true for me. But then we get to our first kind of serious scene, which was Froggy and Chuck, the two bullies. They're kind of like assaulting Kathy. They're trying to, like, it's not clear what they're doing. They're just kind of like messing with her. And then Billy comes in and there's a fight ensues. The worst choreographed fight in history. Yeah. I think Kathy hits the Froggy with a tennis racket. He goes flying and then he comes back in. And it's like, it's just kind of to set up the fact that, like, now he doesn't like those guys. And I think that's Laser Blast attacks them next, blows up their car, right?
That's right, yeah.
And then I was like, Laser Blast is a terrible shot. Yeah.
He's like firing off from a cliff down onto the.
He's firing off from a cliff. Yes. And then he loves to be up high. You notice that? Like, yeah. That scene with the, at the end when they're trying, the police track him down in the plane and they're trying to shoot him from the plane and he's up on the mountain. But you notice, for whatever reason, when he gets the amulet and turns into Laser Blast, he also turns into like Iggy Pop because he waves his arms like awkwardly in the sky. And I was like, okay. But yeah, he's making this big scene and they don't see him. He shoots down from a cliff, blows up their car, which leads to, I think, this again was another laugh out loud part for me. Froggy and Chuck get a new car, right? And they're driving. And Froggy is like, super paranoid, like he's looking out the windshield and he's like worried because they thought it was lightning that blew up their car, and he's like, all right, you think it's gonna rain? He's like, I loved that I laughed out loud.
Well, I mean, it's not often where you see a character learn from what's happened to them and keep that with them as the movie goes along,
right? Yeah. I was like, and then he Oh, and then they cut to the planes leaving. The police have the plane. They're going to track them down and try and take them out from the skies. And then I think there was a lot that was edited out of this movie. But you see, like, Froggy is like pointing. He's like, I was like, okay, I must have missed. I know the guy's like kind of a spaz, but it was like insane. So yeah, he tries to take out the bullies. He only succeeds in destroying their car. And then, my gosh, I don't even remember what happens next.
Speaking of
the man in black rolls into town,
mm-hmm.
in his black Cadillac. I'm sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, speaking of things that might have been edited out, did you get the impression that he maybe vaporized his house because they never show him going back home to sleep. Like, there, it's only him sleeping with his girlfriend on the ground,
yeah,
like next to the van, which is like seems to be in an empty lot of a house that might have burned down.
Oh yes, see that? Yeah, that's like their first meeting. Well, first, no. He goes, remember he goes to her house and like her grandpa or whatever is like in the military uniform. And he's like,
he kicks over the bike.
Yeah. Well, he's like, he just keeps repeating Operation Sandust or something like that. He's going Sandust. And I was like, okay, that's redundant. But I think that could have been something that was cut out that, I don't know. It just didn't make. I mean, I don't know. Maybe where they live is like frequented by aliens, or he was involved in some kind of like extraterrestrial project in the military. I was just like, I don't know.
It's like it's a very thin connection to make with the man in the black car coming in and connecting him with the don't know if it's a daughter or granddaughter, but getting him connected with Kathy.
The man in the black car is Tony. His name is Tony Craig in the movie. Okay.
Tony Craig. Okay.
Tony Craig. And that's the thing. Like, there was no real clear protagonist or antagonist, right? Like the man in black, like, he didn't have a plan to stop him. He's just trying to figure out what's going on. There didn't seem to be, like, now if there were scenes of like an internal struggle with Billy, where he's like trying to fight it, or, you know, or maybe Kathy, his girlfriend, is like trying to, like, I gotta save my boyfriend, I gotta do this. There's none of that. It was just stuff happening.
Yeah. In fact, there's even just like a, at some point, it's just a montage of him blowing stuff up, like a pinball machine.
The pinball
later
machine.
On, it's maybe a mailbox. I think later on, it's like a
cars.
Phone booth.
It's funny, right away, I could tell, like, it was shot up in Santa Clarita, and I looked it up, and that's where it was. And I was like, yeah.
I don't know how you could tell that. I mean, it could have been anywhere for me. I do have to say, like, I appreciate, as like low budget as it is, like, just the fact that they, and probably a lot of it's due to their budget, but just the fact that they filmed so much of it in broad daylight, I appreciate, because it's like so rarely seen in any movie of any budget anymore. It's just the action stuff happened during the day.
Yes, I think there's a reason for that. Well, that's one thing, and like the technical success, like the technical prowess, is spotty, because there are some, like, when it first started, I was like, oh, like, you know, the sound is pretty good. Everything seems to be lit pretty well, but then towards the end, it just falls apart. Like, some of the night scenes, like, this is why they don't shoot at night, because night, you have to light things. You have, you know, there's a lot more, technically, it's a lot more difficult. And there was some of the night scenes, it just was hard to see what's going on. Like the part, the part with the police at night, like, it was really difficult to see.
when he blows up the outhouse.
Yes. Like, it was kind of hard to see. So yeah, like, it started off like pretty good. Like, music was good. Image quality was good. The other thing that I was like, if I was a producer, I'd be like, bro, you got to reshoot this or cut it. When Froggy at the end, when Froggy and Chuck are in the car, mm-hmm. and oh, they see him on the side of the road and they think he's a hitchhiker. The music. The music in the car is playing so loud, I can't hear what they're saying. You know what I mean? Like, the levels on the music are so loud. I had to like rewind it and like try, like, listen like four or five times.
I think I remember the captioning saying upbeat radio funk.
they're like, oh, look at that. I forget what they say. Like, something like, well, we'll give him a ride, he'll never forget. And then turns out it's not a hitchhiker at all. It's Laser Blast. And then it
karma.
Leads to the, yes, they had egg on their face. It's which leads to, I think, you know, one of the best pyrotechnic scenes in the movie, when their car gets blown up. You're right. I mean, they got a stuntman driving. They looks like they got a mannequin in the back, and yeah, it's in super, like, their slow motion. They did their, you know, they had the slow motion going. And again, I got no complaints with the pyrotechnics. Pyrotechnics, fabulous, fabulous. So yeah, I mean, either they spent a lot of money on pyrotechnics, or they found somebody that just likes to blow crap up. And then, yeah,
if you're lucky, you get both.
Yeah. and then, okay, now we're like, you know, we're kind of heading towards the climax. He's gone full Laser Blast, right? It's like, Billy's gone. There is no Billy, only Laser Blast. Police get the idea, and this is another thing. I'm talking missed opportunity. I thought it was pretty cool when the police are in the plane, and the dude's like loading the gun, and he takes his hat and turns it around backwards. I was like, oh shit, it's on, and I thought, like, that scene could have been so much better. And what do we end up with? You know. Laser Blast is up on the mountain, like doing this Iggy Pop. And again, reminiscent of King Kong, but I think it would have been a lot better. You could have, that scene could have really been cool if they had pulled like a North by Northwest, where he's sprinting, he's running through the desert, planes coming up behind him, shooting at him, he's shooting back at the plane. Like that could have been
plenty of open space.
Yeah, that could have been a really cool. I mean, and all you would have to do is just, I mean, technically it wouldn't have been difficult. You just have to get a shot of him running, you know, maybe you have a few squibs or something, and then you just have a few shots of the plane.
It was like almost, I mean, not really full circle, but like a nice parallel to how the movie started with the guy being chased by the plane amongst the rocks and all.
Yeah, was he being? Are you talking about the being chased by the spaceship or by the plane?
Well, the plane, that plane showed up right after.
Right.
Yeah. So
you think the plane was chasing him?
Yeah. I think so. But maybe that's a connection. Maybe I'm making that connection without the evidence. But it reflects back in later when Billy's being chased by the plane, and I think he's a little bit more successful with outrunning the cops.
Yeah. Well, look, Brian.
He has a great inflatable waving an inflatable arm dance to celebrate.
His Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he takes down the plane, and then he goes to like a city, and an abandoned city. And starts.
Well, we need to cover how he gets there, because he does get a ride. Remember, he gets picked up by the.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the hippie guy. Oh my god, I forgot about that. That was
which I
that
loved.
Was
I loved. The
I loved thing. It. You're right. That's my. That's my one of my. Oh my god, that was great. That scene. Again,
not only so that happens. Work.
Pyrotechnics, awesome. So yeah, Ryan, why don't you tell us what happens?
Well, we've got the bullies are driving in their new car at the same time as the plane is chasing Billy, and they're kind of happening at the same time, because eventually when Billy outruns the plane, he ends up on the side of the road, blows up the car with the bullies. It's fantastic, but he still needs a ride, so. This hippie shows up and picks up. He's doing the nice thing. He picks him up, and I mean, I thought things were going well
until they weren't. Wrong.
Yeah,
it turned into a buddy.
Yeah.
It turned into a buddy road movie.
My absolute favorite part is not the fact that he, you know, finally decides to laser blast the driver out of the car, but then it cuts to Billy. Just calmly driving the car without a door. Yeah. And heading right to the city. I think it's great. And it sets up the end environment perfectly.
That was great. That whole thing. And then, but I'll tell you what, though. The beats of that scene where he blows the driver out of the door of the car. And then, he just gets blown out the side of the car. You're right. The way it cuts to the van drive, like it doesn't miss a beat. The van's just driving. It's like a comedy edit. It's like a comedy beat. Oh, it was great.
Five stars, no notes.
Five stars, no notes. Hell's the yeah. And then we end up. And then we're in the city, and then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but. The government agent Carlo from The Godfather pulls up in his black Cadillac with, he's got Kathy, right? Kathy's in tow.
Yeah, because I think before Billy gets his ride, but after he's blown up the bullies, it does show her meeting with him, and they head towards wherever Billy's going.
Right, he's at some. Abandoned. Thank God he's in an abandoned area. Imagine the damage he would have caused.
I will say the government agent, he, I think when he meets Actually, it might be before he meets with the general, but he does mention at one point, like, locking down the city.
Okay.
And I mean, you would think that that references the more rural area where most of the movie takes place, but clearly he was thinking ahead, and it was regarding the urban city that they end up at.
Oh, so okay, so maybe they evacuated before he got there.
Yeah, but then again, that might just be me connecting dots that
Hey, works for
there.
me. So we have this climactic scene. I mean, or sorry, we're speeding towards a climax. Then what happens?
Well, then it's another montage of destruction. He
Beautiful.
blows up a phone booth, a mailbox, some little red thing that's outside an apartment building door, which I couldn't understand what it was. And I only know it's red because I kept rewinding it to see if I could figure out what it was. Let's see. There's at least one police car shows up that
No.
I think flips over, and he just has fun waving his arms and shooting stuff, which
Yeah.
again, maybe it's that's corruption. Maybe that's just like letting your freak flag fly.
Well, that's laser blast for you. And then, Ryan, the movie. Okay, then we have our friends show up, right? The dinosaur puppets. They're out of nowhere. They're just there. Or one's there. Because I think it's the ship in the background, and then the one dinosaur guy is there, and he just shoots him with his ray gun. He blasts him with the ray gun for what seems to be 5 minutes, right? Doesn't it seem like that beam is on him for like 5 minutes? And he's just going, ah, he's like, he's feeling it. And I think this is, again, another part that is like a missed opportunity. When that's happening, the life is being taken from Billy. You can't cut to a reaction shot of Kathy. You can't cut to a reaction shot of the government agent. He's just like, it's just the 3 minutes of Billy go, like, and then it's over. We're done. The movie's over. And I'm sure you had the same thought. What did the aliens do after Billy is blasted?
I mean, don't they just hightail it out of
They
there?
leave the amulet, they leave the necklace and the gun again.
Again, I think it's something they know they don't they know it's junk to them, but they don't want anyone else to have any fun with
Well,
it.
I mean, look, but when they're, yes, possibly, but when their boss calls him up and when they're in the ship and he's like, I mean, I can only imagine what he's saying, but he's like, look, dipshits, you screwed, another guy's got it. And they're like, oh Christ, and they have to go back and they're gonna have to come back again now.
I like to
This.
think that they thought like that was the only they vaporized the only human and thought their problem was solved. They were like, oh man, another one.
Now, what would have been cool is you cut back to the government agent. He just kind of gives him a little like knowing like nod and then picks up the amulet. And then it's like, okay, like they know, like they have a previous relationship. Like that would have been kind of interesting. But they don't do that. It's just like, okay, it just ends abruptly. And that's common for something like this. 'Cause usually these productions, like they get to a certain point and they run out of money and they're like, we got to just end it. And I think,
Said all that can be said about it.
yeah, we've said all we need to say, but it's so funny how conditioned we are for post-credit sequences. 'Cause I was like, I'm going to watch this and see like, if there's like, they come like some, like, little kid comes riding up on his bike and, picks up the, picks up the necklace or the gun. But I mean, or, it would have been dope to have like, Kathy's back at her house and she's crying and then she like opens her purse and takes out the necklace and then like end. Like, give us a little something. It's been for Laser Blast. After we buy the rights to Laser Blast and we make Laser Blast 2, laser blasts. Kathy picks up. Well, no, we got to go back. We got to do the origin story of the creature at the beginning. Because let me tell you, that creature at the beginning, that was Billy. Remember, we never see Billy's dad. That was Billy's dad coming back to see his family before he gets intercepted by the aliens, the alien space cops. It's all part of laser blasts. It's going to be great.
Probably should start with the mom coming back from Acapulco.
Yeah. Yeah. I still say, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think this could, I'm going to have to look into it, getting the rights to this. What do you think? Laser blasts exclusively available on Apple Vision Pro. The other technology device that turns people into creatures.
That's a good connection.
Would you recommend laser blasts to somebody? Would you recommend it to your brother?
That's hard to say. I would recommend it with the caution that like, it's not as bad as it sounds, because I honestly think it wasn't that. I liked it more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. But I have a hard time knowing what other people might like. I think you have to be in the right like mood or frame of mind to like enjoy, I don't know, pretty much anything nowadays.
Well, I think there's like a misconception out there. Like people think of like movies like, oh, there it's a so bad it's good kind of thing. Like most of the time, those movies are incredibly boring. Like there were long stretches of this film. Like we only talked about like stuff we found funny and all that kind of thing. There were just long stretches where nothing happens. Characters are, you know, Billy's like, you know, stumbling around with this hangdog look on his face. Like, you know, it's like there's long periods of just intense boredom, you know, punctuated by these really funny scenes. Like, you know what I mean?
But I guess at the end of the day, I feel like there's a lot you can critique about something like this, but it's also impressive just to go to sit back and go, you know, a group of people came together and made that, and like that's impressive in and of itself.
Oh, sure. You know?
So, yeah, I give them credit. You know,
yeah, it's not easy making a movie.
Yeah, I think they got on screen a lot of things that they had in their head, and I'm sure it ended up just as they wanted. You know, even like the car explosion, I bet that they pulled that off just as they wanted to. Yeah. We kind of mentioned it in passing, but yeah, you know, when he's in the hippies van and they pass by the Star Wars billboard, yeah. I'm sure that came off just as they wanted to, even though they cut to the front of the van afterwards and you can see kind of the camera platform on the side.
Really?
Of the, just barely, but just before, like it's there just for a second. You know, I think that I give him a lot of credit
Nothing fazed that hippie.
That's true.
He was like, hell yeah. You know, even if you pick up a guy in a car and like he's blowing up, he's got a laser attached to his hand, he's blowing up billboards, and he's not only that, but he has the appearance of like a Frankenstein's monster. He hung in there. He was like, he was happy and telling stories, and
the response is just far out.
Yeah. Poor guy. I think we got to bring him back for the sequel. I think we got to bring him back for laser blasts, right? He like wakes up in a ditch. He like wakes up in a ditch.
Skated across the four lanes on the driver's side door.
He's like,
and land safely.
He's like far out. Yeah. That would have been a good post-credit scene. He like comes out of like, he like comes climbing back up from the embankment of the highway, like smoking.
He probably would have taken a drive.
And he was like he was like a cowboy hippie too. I don't know if that character has a name.
I remember in the credits seeing the name Jesse Jeep. I don't know where he came up in, but I thought that was a pretty good name.
Earl on Bench, Eleanor Duncan, First Humanoid Alien. Yeah, I don't know. They don't have it in the IMDb. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think it helps too that we knew we were going to talk about it, so we had to pay attention to it. It's amazing. Because if I had seen this on TV or something, like I probably would have watched it and been like, oh, that's really, what a weird movie, and then like got on my phone or something. I'm telling you, kids out there, if you take the time to pay attention to something, you probably get a lot more enjoyment out of it.
Right? That's true. Yeah. That's a good, really like, that's a good lesson. I think the second lesson from this movie is getting the high ground. It's clearly a tactical advantage for the aliens and for Billy.
There is so many parallels to this and the Star Wars prequels. The guy that goes for the high ground, you know, and the youth corrupted. Poor Billy.
Yeah, pool parties.
Pool parties. This poor guy. The bullies. They get a new car, driving back. I don't know. I thought that was really clever. The fact that Froggy's like paranoid, looking up in the sky for looking out for lightning. So good. Oh my gosh. Okay, out of 10, what do you give Laser Blast?
Oh, out of 10.
And Ryan, we're gonna make this an enjoyment scale. This is not a like nominated for an Oscar scale.
Yeah. I'll give it a 6.
A 6?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's generous. That's
good. I know. The other part of my brain is going, really?
Okay. Yeah, let me ask you this question. Is this the first movie you've ever seen? No. I give it a 5. I give it a 5. I tell you what, though, I give it a 5, but like 3 points out of that 5 is the stop motion puppets.
Yeah. Yeah, stop I get that. Puppets
were damn good. Okay. We'll have to think of next week's film. We'll be back with next week's film. Goodness gracious. Brian, thank you for your participation.
Yeah, anytime. I hope that helped.
Next week.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of Discount Film Critics. We'll be back soon with episode 2. In the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.